the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is before all things. And by Him all things consist. Whether they're things in heaven or things in the earth. He's the firstborn of every creature. That in all things He might have the preeminence. Because it pleased God the Father. That's why. Because it pleased God His Father that in His Son, Christ Jesus, should all fullness dwell. If it just said all, that would be enough. If it just said fullness, that would be enough. But it says all fullness. All fullness of God's glory, all fullness of God's attributes, all fullness of God's character, all fullness of God's purpose of redemption, all fullness of God's salvation, all fullness of God's spiritual blessings to His people, all fullness of all things in the church, all fullness of all things in the earth, all fullness of all things that have ever come to pass since the first grain of sand was spoken into existence by Him, the Word of God has had all, the Son of God has had all preeminence, and in Him all fullness dwells. In final glory, when you're brought into the presence of God Almighty, you will see Him, who is the express image of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as a man just like you are in glorified flesh, and you'll cast your crowns at His feet and say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain and redeemed us to our God, because it pleased the Father." It pleased the Father. The problem with you and I, and the problem with all men, is that don't please us by nature. That just does not please us by nature. We have here in 1 Kings chapter 1 an illustration of the problem that exists with all men by nature, and the problem that exists with you and I as believers, and the what we have to be saved from continually by Christ Jesus the Lord. We see here in verse 5, our first point is there is a false king. And in Adonijah we see the problem of our sinful flesh. Verse 5, it says, I set the background, David is, he's up in years, he's about to die, and he's in his bedchamber. So, at this time, his son, Adonijah, decides he's going to take matters into his own hands. Verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king. This is the desire of all men since the fall of Adam." Self-exaltation. "I will be king." He exalted himself. He said, "I will be king." Whenever a man hears that Christ has all preeminence and is the fullness of God because it pleased the Father, the first lashing out of the natural heart, of the carnal flesh is, "I will not have that man reign over me." Verse 5 says, "And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him." The desire of the nature, of the old sinful nature, is to make all the preparations ourselves and for ourselves. It says, "He prepared him." He prepared it and he prepared it for himself. The flesh desires glory, to have men to look at us. He prepared him all these men and chariots to run before him so that he could have all the preeminence before all the people. Verse 6. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab the son of Zeruiah, with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. We can appear good outwardly to men. We can surround ourselves with others just like us. Adonijah, in the passage, David is a type of God the Father. And God the Father may allow us to run in our rebellion for years and years and not stop us in our tracks. He may do that, just as Adonijah had done. And the people saw him doing this. Just as you look around you and you see the fleshly religion of this world and it appears to be blessed and flourishing, and you say, well, surely God's in that. That's what they saw in this man. When you lean to your own understanding and you go your own way into rebellion and things seem to be going as you want them to go, and you start to thinking, well, surely God's in this. That's what it looked like to everybody that saw this, and that's how it looks to us very often. He was the oldest living son. Absalom was dead. He was of a different mother, but he was the oldest living son in David's house, and it would appear that the throne rights would go to the next eldest son. He was with well-respected men. He was with the priest. He had those men with him that joined in to help him. You see, we can do a lot of things to make everything appear that we're goodly men, that we're righteous men, that we truly are kings and priests unto God. Verse 8 says, "But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah." When the sinful flesh reigns, the sinner always separates himself from those who are God's true servants. I'll give you one indication. One indication that you can be sure. If you hear someone who's preaching the gospel and you rejoice in the gospel and rejoice in Christ, and other men will not invite him to their feast or will not join in him with his feast, there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason he didn't invite these men, because they were faithful to King David. They were faithful to their Lord. And he knew that if he invited these men, they were going to say, "What's this all about, Adonijah? David's the king. David's the one who appoints the king. What's this all about?" Verse 9, "And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants." He called their brethren. He called those who were of the king's house, invited all them to come. But he didn't invite Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother he called not. Here we see the self-exalting, self-preparing, self-serving feast of the flesh. Everything about this was false. Everything about it was false. This is all we are by our first birth in Adam. This is all we are. Falsehood. False kings. Even now, born of the Spirit of God, we have this old man that tries to reign every chance he can get. Just like we saw this morning in our lesson. How's this false king within us going to be put down? How's this false king that has a desire to reign, that false king that's in you who have not been born of the Spirit of God, how's he going to be put down and the true king reign? How's that going to happen? You notice here that Nathan had Benaiah, the captain of the bodyguard. And he had the mighty men, all the host of the princes that had fought with David were valiant men, men who of courage, men who were skilled with weapons of war. And he had Solomon with him. He had plenty of manpower to march down there to that feast where Adonijah was and by force of hand break the whole thing up, didn't he? But is that what he did? Not at all, because the only way that the rightful king is going to reign and the old fleshly false king is going to be brought down is by Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's see how he does it. Now, we have a picture here of God the Father and his Son, Christ Jesus the King, in David and Solomon. But here's what I want you to get as we go through this. Each man who will have a part in exalting Solomon holds an office that glorifies Jesus Christ. So as we see these men working this work, keep your eye on Christ Jesus, who's working in them that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And we'll see what Christ Jesus the King does, how glorious he is in his mediatorial office as the prophet, priest, and king, as the captain of the Lord of hosts, as the captain of the bodyguard, the one who is a king like no other king. And this is what we'll see. Verse 11. Wherefore, Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. This is the bride. The bride. David's bride. Saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Here's the first thing I want you to see. Christ Jesus the King is the prophet who speaks through his prophets. Stephen declared, he said, this Jesus, this is the one that Moses spake of when he said, the Lord has said he will raise up unto you of your brethren a prophet like unto me. Stephen said, this Jesus Christ of Nazareth is that prophet. This is him. God spoke in all the various times and ages throughout history through his prophets. But he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And he's appointed him heir of all things by whom he made the worlds. But now get this picture. Here's Bathsheba the bride. A picture of the church. But now let's look at this as you in particular, as you a member of the body, you a member of the church. Here you are, going about all your daily affairs, doing everything that you do on a daily basis, and whatever it is that you're involved in, whatever you're doing, you think everything's fine. And here's the word that comes to you. Don't you know that another king is attempting to reign? She had to be awakened to the fact that another king was trying to reign. And you know who awoke her to this? The one who's typical of Christ Jesus, the prophet. You know how you're going to be awakened out of your slumber and be made to realize that in all the goodliness that you think you're doing, there's another king that's trying to reign? You know how you're going to be awakened to that? Even if it's something in righteousness and truth, you think it's for the honor of God, you know how you're going to be awakened to the fact that it's the flesh that's reigning? It's going to be through Christ Jesus the Lord speaking in your heart to you personally. That's what he did to her. And what did he tell her to do? Verse 12. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go, get thee in unto King David. Oh, this is, I do pray that our King might speak into our hearts this morning and that we might hear this word of his grace and hear him say this to us. Is there another king trying to take the throne? Here's what he says. Go, get thee in unto King David and petition him based upon his covenant promise. Verse 13. Say unto him, didst not thou, my Lord, O King, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? You know what hope we have in this world? The hope we have in this world, right here in the year 2010, began before the world was founded in eternity when God covenanted with himself to save a people for himself, for his glory, by himself. That's our hope. So when that old king starts to reign in your flesh and in your family and in the community around you and in the churches around you, this is what Christ the King says. Get in unto the Father and petition him based on his promise. Lord, didn't you promise me that your Son would reign King Supreme? And as our prophet, priest, and king, Christ Jesus ever lives to make intercession for his people. Not only does Christ speak effectually into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, not only does he draw us to the throne of our heavenly Father, he has to put the prayer in your heart to pray to him and draw you to the Father. Isn't that how it had to be in the first hour? That's how it's got to be every hour. And he draws you there, and not only does he do that, but as he draws you there, he makes intercession for you. Watch this. Verse 14, "Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words." You get the picture? Here we have Christ the prophet who comes and wakes the bride and says, there's another king trying to reign. He puts the prayer in her heart, get into the Father. Petition him based on his promise. And now he says, and as you petition him, I'll make intercession for you. Isn't that wonderful? That's how truly this one is the king, like no other. Truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For we have such a high priest who became us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He's our intercessor. He died with the sin of his people upon him, but he's risen, purged them of all their sin, and they're risen in him, and he's the ever-living God. He's seated at the right hand of God, and though he died as a man, he's risen from the dead, and he lives as mediator and redeemer and intercessor for his people. His intercession is by his appearance. He's there. That's all the intercession. He's there. He's come through the valley of death. He's gone through the grave. He's purged his people of their sins. And now he's there with the Father. He's the sacrifice God's pleased with, and he declares his will for his redeemed. He recommends the prayers of his people, removes the charges and accusations of Satan that he lays against us. He's our intercessor. And so Bathsheba went in, and she did what she was told to do. And Nathan went in. Now, verse 28. Then King David answered, and he said, "Call me Bathsheba." And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. This is how we enter into the Father. This is how we have those seasons of true communion with the Father, where we feel the refreshing in our soul that God the Father speaks in our heart. This is how. Christ drew us. Christ put the prayer. Christ made intercession for us. And he says, now you call me her. You bring her to me. And the king sware and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day." And you know what's going to happen when God renews that inner man through this word of grace? Exactly what Bathsheba did. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, "Let my lord King David live forever." That's how he bridles that tongue. That's how he causes that peace in the heart. Now, none of this has been done through hook or crook. None of this has been done through force of hand. It's been done one way, by Christ through the Word. Now, watch this. He's the prophet. He's the high priest. And he's the captain of the Lord of hosts. Verse 32. King David said, how's this all this going to be taken care of? How's this king going to be put down now? The prayers come in. The Father has heard the prayer. Now what's the Father going to do? Is the Father going to come down and take care of this matter? King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. Zadok is David's favorite priest. He's the one who's going to be the new high priest. And Benaiah is the captain of the guard. That's who he is, the captain of the bodyguard. He's the chief of the host, the Lord of hosts, the bodyguard. You remember when Joshua was coming to Jericho? Do you remember how he saw the Son of God? Joshua 5:13, if you want to look there with me. Joshua 5:13. This is this office of Benaiah, the captain of the Lord of hosts. Verse 13, the captain of the guard. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. That's whose side I'm on. I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. That's who this one is. He's the captain of the guard. He's the captain of all the hosts. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ is the captain of the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord's captain. Jehovah's captain. He's the body's guard. That's who he is. That's what this bodyguard, that's what he did. He guarded the body. That's what Christ is doing. The body's his church. The body's his elect given to him before the foundation of the world. And he guards the body. He protects the body. And then you have here the high priest, Zadok. And here's what he says to him. Verse 33. 1 Kings 1:33. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord. That is, the lesser bodyguards. These are pictures of Christ's under-shepherds. These are bodyguards too, but they're under the orders of the chief bodyguard, the Lord of hosts, who is the chief shepherd of the body, the head of the church. But he says, you take the servants of your Lord, and call Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Now, let's get this now. Get this. You got Christ Jesus in type who awoke the bride. He put the prayer in her heart. He said, go in and petition the Father based on covenant promise. And he said, and I'll make intercession for you. And then the Father calls Christ the prophet, the high priest, the captain of the Lord of hosts, to make his servants to lift the king up before the people. Christ does it all. The whole house has been entrusted to him. You don't believe me? Turn to Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I can't press upon you enough this. God is not only sovereign in providence, though he is. God is not only sovereign in every matter that takes place, from the very hair of your head to the sparrow that falls to the ground to the king that sits in the highest throne room in this land. He's sovereign over all. But brethren, if he's not sovereign in salvation, sovereign in the heart, sovereign in ruling in the hearts of his people, then man is. And that ain't so. God is sovereign. Christ Jesus the righteous is the one who will receive all the glory. That means he works in his people effectually. Now watch this. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. That was the whole purpose he came into Israel. Because they didn't have a king that would reign in righteousness. They didn't have a king who would provide for the people. They didn't have a king who could be trusted with the government of the people of God. And God said, I showed you all that. I made you a nation and I raised up a king. Gave you the king you wanted. The first one you wanted was Saul. So you'd be like the rest of the nations. When all along I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. But now I've proven to you, you can't govern yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't make anything effectual yourself. My king's coming. And he says, I'm given a son, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Nathan the prophet said, let me give you counsel. You know what I'm doing for you right now? I'm giving you counsel. I'm saying to you, get you into the Father. You want to come to my house? You want some private counseling? Come on. I'm ready. I want you to. I encourage you to call me. In any time of need, call me. And I've got this word for you. Christ Jesus, the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, says, get thee in unto the Father. He'll make intercession for you. And he'll come forth and he'll put down the king, the false king, and he'll raise up Christ the King. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father, the second Adam, born of incorruptible seed, born of Him. We live with Him forever. He's the Prince of Peace. You want peace? That's where it's coming. Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. That's who Solomon's a picture of here. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is who He is. He does all the work. For the Father has entrusted it to Him. The whole house. Look over it. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. The Father said to Him, He said, now you take the Lord's servants. God said, I'll give you pastors after my own heart. And He tells the Son, in type here in our text, He says, now you send forth my servants, the pastors after my own heart, and you speak through them. And Scripture says, when He ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men. He gave pastors and teachers and evangelists. Christ did. And He's sovereign enough to work in their heart to teach them the truth of who God is. And He's sovereign enough to work effectually through that word they preach to reveal Himself in the hearts of those He comes to. Why? Because the government's on His shoulder. And this whole thing has to be done in righteousness and truth and holiness by the Master. Now watch this. Verse 10. Hebrews 2:10. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That's what our Savior accomplished when He came. He was made like unto His brethren. He went to where His brethren were. He suffered all things as we have without sin. He purged us of our sin and He's seated at the right hand of God. Now look over at Hebrews 3:5. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Now God the Son is the servant of God, but He's more than that. He's more than that. He's God. Watch the verse. But Christ as a son over His own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end? You see, the glory of God He entrusted to His Son. The glory of His whole house throughout all ages of time. An elect people from among Jew and Gentile, bond and free, rich and poor, young and old. He said, I will save them through my Son. The glory of my name, the glory of my house is all in your hands, my son. It's all on your shoulder. And He came forth like unto His brethren, and He just as triumphantly, as sovereignly, as effectually as He accomplished the redemption of His people and putting away the sins of His people by the sacrifice of Himself, by sanctifying His people by His one offering, even so now from His throne in glory, He's working sovereignly, effectually, in every detail of the lives of His people to bring to pass that which He determined before the foundation of the world, the salvation of their souls, through the preaching of the gospel, through the truth of His word, through pastors He sends forth, in the churches He's planted, by the rivers of waters of life. That's what He's doing right now. And He shall not fail. Not at all. Not at all. How shall we and all the people know that Christ is King? How are we going to know this? We're going to know it by the mule. We're going to know it by the pool. And we're going to know it by the trumpet. And it's all saying the same thing. The word of truth, the gospel through the Spirit of God. Watch this now. This mule, verse 33. The king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, the type of the under-shepherds, the type of the lesser bodyguards that are guarding the body as Christ the head guards the body. And cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule and bring him down to Gihon. Here's the mule he's riding on, and this place called Gihon is a pool. Now watch the mule. This was the way of testifying that it was David's will that his son Solomon should reign in his stead. This is how David testified it. Though he didn't come forth and tell it himself, this is how he testified that this was his son. Nobody else had the authority to ride triumphant on this mount but the one that the Father said is the king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt of the foal of an ass. That was prophesied by God's word. That was preached by God's prophet years and years and years and years before. And when Christ came, it says in Matthew 21, he told him, you go into this village. And he says, when you get there, you're going to find an ass tied and a colt with her. He said, loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man asks you why you're doing this, he said, you tell him this. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the word in the gospel, in the word of the Lord, that the king is coming on the king's mount. There's the king's mount right here. His word. The Father said, the only one that can have preeminence in this on this mount is my son. If you're not giving him all preeminence, then you're not declaring my son. You had another feast altogether, rejoicing in a false king. Well, where did he bring him to? They brought him down to Gihon. You remember whenever Israel was all in a fuss and they was all bent out of shape because the Lord said, the rod of my anger, Assyria, is coming up and I'm going to use him to wipe away the nation of Israel. And so he began to come upon Israel, and King Ahaz in Judah was all, they said the people were shaking like the leaves on a tree. They were just all afraid and didn't know what to do. And the Lord told Isaiah, he said, the only way they're going to be saved is for you to go forth right now with this word, with this gospel, and declare to them that I'm giving them a sign whether they want it or not, and this is the sign of my salvation. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Behold, a virgin shall bring forth a son. And behold, that virgin shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He said, go preach this gospel to him. You know where he did it? He did it in the pool of the upper field. It's called the Pool of Shiloh. It's called the Pool of Gihon. That's where they're at. That's where they're at. That's where the gospel went forth. That's where the word went forth. And the Lord said, told Ahaz, he said, you refused the waters of Shiloh that go softly. Nathan didn't take up those bodyguards, and he didn't get all those mighty men and those men of war, and he didn't go down there and by force of hand and strength try to break up that feast that was going on down there that with that false king. You know how he did it? With the word. You know how God said, I'm going to save my remnant in Judah, even though the Ahaz and all the people are trembling and thinking that everything's going to hell in a handbasket? I'm going to do it through my word, through my gospel. It's the waters of Shiloh that go softly. Peace is sown in the heart peaceably. Righteousness is sown in the heart in peace. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the same pool where the Lord came to the blind man and put mud on his eyes and said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam and come away seeing. This is a picture of the Word of God, the gospel we preach, revealed through the Holy Spirit, the water and the Spirit, the trumpet then, verse 34. He says, "And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon." Have you heard this trumpet this morning? I've been blowing on this trumpet since we got here this morning at 10 o'clock. Have you heard it? I got one thing to say to you. Christ Jesus, the Lord of hosts, is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one that pleased the Father to have all preeminence, that all fullness might dwell in Him. He's the King. He's the King. So here we have the Lord's servants accompanied by the captain, the priest, and the prophet. Picture of Christ. They're on the King's Mount. He's sitting on the King's Mount by the waters that continually go softly, blowing the trumpet. Our King Jesus is declared by the power of the Holy Spirit through the word of His gospel. That's the picture here. Well, what happens when this happens? What does the Lord do when He's put this prayer in our hearts and He's made intercession for you and He's come forth and He's exalted Himself before your eyes through the word of His gospel and made you to behold that He indeed is King? What happens in you then? What's going to happen in you when He does this? This is the effectual result. When God makes His people to hear the word of the Lord, three things always happen. The first thing is His ministers, His faithful ambassadors, follow the King with great joy. Verse 35. Then ye shall come up after Him. They went down before Him, announcing Him. Announcing Him. But they said, once He's exalted, now you just take your place behind Him and follow Him. And they followed after Him, that He may come and sit upon My throne, for He shall be King in My stead, and I've appointed Him to be ruler over Israel and Judah, My people. The second thing is, all the people in whom the Spirit reveals Christ the King follow along with great rejoicing, just as His ambassadors do. Verse 40. And all the people came up after Him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And here's the third thing. That self-exalting false king shall be put down. Verse 41. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. Down there finishing up that feast, eating that self-made, self-prepared, self-exalting feast. And they hear all this rejoicing. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, "Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar?" And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. Adonijah said unto him, "Oh, come in. You're a valiant man. You'll bring good tidings. Come on in and tell me, what's the good tidings? What's everybody so happy about?" Jonathan answered, said unto Adonijah, "Verily, you're right. I come with some mighty good tidings." You're right, I do come with some faithful tidings. Our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. He's king. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David. Everybody's rejoicing in him. The king's rejoicing. The father's rejoicing over him. And the people are all rejoicing over him. Look down at verse 48. Also, thus said the king, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes having seen it." And here's what happened. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. Now that's how the false king in me and in you and in every sinner that will be saved by grace in this earth throughout the ages of time shall be saved. Christ Jesus, the prophet, priest, and king, who enters into the heart, awakes us out of our sleep of death, makes us to go in unto the Father, who makes intercession for us, who comes forth in righteousness and declares Himself to be the King through the word of the gospel, the Holy Spirit going forth in effectual grace, irresistible grace, bringing His people to follow after Him and rejoice with piping and great rejoicing. That's what scares the living daylights out of those false kings. That's why they won't invite you to their feast. Scares them. And they fled away in fear. And that's what will make that king flee away. It's in your own flesh as well. It's the word of His grace, Christ the King. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me end with a few verses of Scripture that declare this as more plainly than I could ever declare it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. This is the working of God's mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. That's what it's going to take to save us. When He raised Him from the dead, God the Father raised Christ the King from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That means He's ruling the show, folks. That means He's in charge of everything in heaven and in earth. And nobody can question Him or say, "What are you doing?" He's the King. And He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, to His Bathsheba, to His bride, which is His body, the fullness of Him. He's all fullness to us, but His people is the fullness of Him. Him that filleth all in all. That means there's no empty space left. He fills all in all. And God has exalted Him and given Him a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here's what the Revelation tells us. Here's our rejoicing. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right.